In 1867, Sarah Park Morrison, a native of Salem, Indiana, became the first female admitted to Indiana University, albeit originally reluctant to fill the milestone role. Sarah is depicted in the Walnut Street mural off the city square in honor of her academic accomplishments. Sarah will now talk a bit about her background and her involvement with Indiana University.
I think that in a way it was always inevitable that I would take an academic career path in my life. Both of my parents were very well educated, and they encouraged that same academic inclination in me. After my father, John Morrison, graduated from Miami University of Ohio in 1828, he returned to his hometown of Salem, Indiana, and opened the Washington County Seminary. My father met my mother, Catherine Morris, when he was her tutor at the seminary, and they married in 1832 when she returned from the Quaker-run Westtown boarding school near Philadelphia. I was born 2 years later in 1834. In 1836, my parents had an attractive building constructed to house the seminary. In reference to the Washington County Seminary, one of its students wrote,
"The seminary soon became famous. Pupils flocked not only from Washington County, but from adjoining counties, from Louisville, New Albany, Jeffersonville, Charleston, Bedford, Paoli, Corydon, Indianapolis, and other places. The house was too small to hold all the pupils. Many families of the town took boarders who attended seminary."
In addition to running the Washington County Seminary, my parents also worked together to open the Salem Female Seminary in 1835. But instead of hiring all male teaching assistants, as was the norm in those days, my parents employed young female teachers from the East. They were very progressive individuals. As for my education, I was homeschooled by my parents until my mother decided that it was time for me to receive more formal education, and I was sent to Mount Holyoke Seminary, graduating in 1857. From there, I went on to Vassar College, where I was a pupil teacher. I later went on to Williams College to do postgraduate work. But you're probably more interested in hearing about my involvement with Indiana University. First of all, even though I was already highly educated before petitioning the university, it was largely by my father's influence that this came to be. My father was a busy and influential man. In addition to running the seminaries, he was for a time the editor of the Salem Democrat. He represented Washington County in the Indiana House of Representatives from 1838 to 1840. He served in the state Senate from 1847 through 1860, was a member of the state Constitutional Convention, and during the Civil War, President Lincoln appointed him Commissioner of Enrollment. In 1864, he was elected state treasurer, and he was also elected to the Indiana University Board of Trustees, at one point even serving as the president of the board. I told you he was a busy man. In 1867, I was preparing to attend IU's commencement when my father remarked to me that it was about time for the university to open its doors to women. Being a woman of academic inclination, I readily agreed. However, my father wasn't simply a man of talk, he was a doer. He convinced me, with a little bit of help from a $5 bill, to present an appeal to the Board of Trustees for women to be admitted into Indiana University. The board carefully reviewed the university's charter, found that there were no clauses that barred women from entering the university, and declared that women could enter the university under the same terms as men. This placed IU among the first state institutions to allow admittance to women, and the very first to allow women to enroll on the same terms as men. The board's decision to grant admission to women made me feel ecstatic. But there was only one problem. Not a single woman stepped forward to enroll at the university. By this time, I was 34 years of age, and I had no desire to attend Indiana University. However, I was far less eager to see my victory in attaining admittance for women fall short. So I entered IU as a freshman in the fall of 1867, with all eyes on me. It was the fashion then to wear large sun hats with a rather broad ribbon going over the crown and tying under the chin. The young men were not dangerous to me, nor I to them, but I was thankful for the protection that had afforded me from 600 eyes that day. In all frankness, by the time I enrolled at Indiana University, I had already received the best education available to an American woman. So my involvement with IU was more of a point of publicity for the university than it was about equal rights. However, I feel very proud to have played a role in formally opening the door for women to attend Indiana University. In 1868, the year after I enrolled, 8 other women enrolled in the university, with 7 of those women continuing on to graduate in 1871 with Bachelor of Science degrees. The number of women enrolled at the university steadily increased, and by 1882, just over 10 years later, nearly 1/4 of the total student body was comprised of women. I completed the university's 4-year program in only 2 years, and 4 years after my graduation, I was appointed a tutor. By 1874, I actually became IU's first female faculty member when I was named adjunct professor of English literature. However, I left the university in 1875 because it was difficult for me to gain the respect of my male students, who did not view me as their superior. Even as I became active in other pursuits, though, I remained an active alumna of Indiana University. I frequently wrote to the Board of Trustees to ask why women had not been placed as members of various university boards. And when I received alumni ballots in the mail that were addressed for some woman, I returned those mailings, addressing them to some man. Although my entrance into Indiana University marked a great milestone in higher education, it was my hope that the university would continue to open doors for womankind.
Sarah Park Morrison died in 1919 and is buried in Indianapolis, Indiana. On IU's campus, there is a building named Morrison Hall in her honor, which was originally utilized as an all-female residence hall and is now being used as the department office building.